Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 29th day of January, year 2020. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is Jeremiah chapter 6, and do not worship the beast. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh. In ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Kumru M. Beth. Callers are welcome later on in the broadcast. We do ask that you be careful of language and also try not to walk on any other callers that might be on at the same time. A reminder, we are in the question and answer mode, which means new folks joining the call will be muted until such time as they indicate to me they have a comment or question. If you're on a computer, there should be a button that says Ask Question. If you're on your phone, it's hit *6. Our website is www.PastorDan, and that's all together with no spaces, PastorDan.net. A lot of information there. I have made a change, though. I have stopped updating the Daily Mail page because that takes a lot of my time getting all that stuff put together and putting it up there every day, and I don't think really too many people go there to see the Daily Mail. So I do send out a lot of mail by email, so I will continue to do that to those that ask to be on the list. But I'm not going to waste my time updating the website. Now, there's still a lot of other information there, so it's good to go and check from time to time. New information on the page for ammunition and guns, the page on resources, things such as that. Archives, of course, are there as well. I upload things like John Kaminsky and other good articles. So, you know, stop in from time to time, but it just seems apparent to me that not too many folks go there on a daily basis, so they're kind of a waste of my time. The verse for tonight would be Mark chapter 9, verse 35. He sat down and called the 12, meaning his 12 disciples, and he said to them, "If any man wants to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." Quite the opposite of the average person today, wouldn't you say? Most people want to be chief, right? There's an old saying, we got a lot of chiefs and not enough Indians. You fight the war with the Indians, okay? Not everybody can be chief. And we have a problem with that, especially folks that have a little problem with their ego. And the enemy exacerbates the problem by dividing us and constantly pumping their fake media, false narratives, and generating animosity amongst our people. They pump up the ego, because remember, education today is all about your ego. It has nothing to do about actually learning or to teach critical thinking. It has everything to do with your sensibilities and how do you feel about things, which is absolutely meaningless. I'm so glad that my father and grandparents were strict disciplinarians, and so was my mother, because they didn't get involved in any of that kind of garbage. They were very upfront about what they accepted and what they expected from you, and they did not vacillate on that one bit. Okay, they were there with a pat on the head or a attaboy or whatever when it was deserved, but they didn't coddle any of us younger people. And I am glad I grew up with that. It helped me as I matured. It helped me in my career and all through life, because that's the way it really is. versus this nonsensical feel-good theology and feel-good schooling that we have going on today. Now, again, we're going to get into Jeremiah chapter 6 here at one point, and also a study in Revelation where it talks about worshiping the beast, because I think in the world today, we have an awful lot of people who are failing to understand what that means, especially folks in the, quote, church world. So a couple other verses here, though, before we get started. Amos chapter 5, starting at verse 14, seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so Yahweh, the God of armies, will be with you, as you say. Hate evil, love good, and establish justice in the courts. Do we have any of that today, now that I think about it? We don't have any of that. We love the evil and hate the good, and we have nothing but injustice in our court system. In fact, I just watched a little clip of Jerry Spence, who practiced law in this country. I think he said 50 or 60 years, a long, long time. And he made the statement in that interview that in all of those years in court, not once did anybody representing the government play fair. Not once did they obey their own rules and regulations and court procedures. Not once. They always wanted to twist and turn things to their favor. And let me stop here. Again, we always talk about the fact that everybody works by incentive, okay? When you want yourself to change, you give yourself incentive. Why do you get up out of bed early in the morning when you'd rather sleep in? Well, your incentive is because you want to get a paycheck, right? So when you incentivize prosecutors in a court system by rewarding them for prosecutions, in other words, they make more money, they get more gifts, they get more perks, you now incentivize their being dishonest. And for prosecutors especially, because they have political aims, and so they want a very good a record of wins. And they don't give a damn about justice. They don't give a damn about right and wrong. They want that stellar resume so they can get into politics to do what? Make more money and have more power. So again, you got to be careful where you put your incentives. John chapter 14, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in Yahweh God. Believe also in me, the Anointed One. In my Father's house are many homes. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be there also. Hallelujah. And then Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, none are as hopelessly enslaved as those who falsely believe they are free. The truth has been kept from the depth of their minds by masters who rule over them with lies. They feed them on falsehoods till wrong looks like right in their eyes. Hallelujah, hallelujah for that. Acts chapter 2, verse 17, it will be in the last days, says Yahweh God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Now, a lot of people ask about that where it says pour my spirit out on all flesh. Are they talking about all flesh, meaning everybody, all mankind? But he says here, your sons and your daughters. Remember, these letters in the New Testament were written to a specific group of people. They weren't meant for the whole world. So when he says your sons and your daughters, he's talking about the progeny of the people there that he was addressing. So in the Greek language, of course, and then the Israelites that were in the area at the time, and extensionally, they were also talking to the Israelites that had gone off in the diaspora, or diaspora, depending how you want to pronounce it. Matthew 16:25, for whomever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever will lose his life for my sake will find it. Another version of that is, because whoever has a desire to keep his life safe will have it taken from him, but whoever gives up his life because of me will have it given back to him. That's the Bible in basic English. Very apropos in the sense that giving up your life for him is not talking about martyrdom. Okay, our Father is not talking about martyrdom at all. He's talking about people who want to stay safe and don't get involved, don't be controversial, avoiding confrontation, etc. I know lots and lots of people like that. I was on the road most of the past week, spending time with friends and family, and got into some heated debates. Because, unfortunately, there's an awful lot of people today that have completely misinterpreted the meaning of Scripture. For this one here, for example, if you go back to the parable about the talents, what did he say to the person that took their talent and hid it? He took it away from them, didn't he? So if you take your life and hide it under a rock, if you take your life and you stay shut up in your house because you don't ever want to go out and be confrontational or to shine your light, so to speak, he'll take it from you. That's why he said, be as bold as lions, okay? When the righteous stand firm, what? The wicked flee. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 19, so are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owner. In other words, when you're eaten up with greed, it becomes your inducement to do everything you do in your life. What's it say about the love of money? It's the root of all evil. We're living in that world, okay? Because we don't teach the basic principles that were taught back when I was a child. We don't teach them at home. We don't teach it at school. And most of the churches are now whitewashed sepulchres full of dead men's bones. They're just a former shell of what they were at one time. It's just a building now. In fact, I've had people tell me that they went looking for a new church when they moved. And this one lady was saying that she went to 6 different churches trying to find one she felt comfortable in. And she goes, I left all 6 of them because it felt more like a rock concert than it did being in the building that's supposed to teach and live by the Word of God. I've also got relatives and friends that told me, well, you know, the church today does a lot of good things. And I said, well, like what? Well, they save souls. I said, what the hell does that mean? What do you mean, save souls? Because they say the sinner's prayer, so you're in the once saved, always saved crowd? How about the Greek word soter that comes from? It has nothing to do with spirituality. It has everything to do with saving you from physical harm in the here and now, right here on terra firma, earth. It has nothing to do with this pie in the sky spiritualism that the church world talks about. So saving souls, the church word saving souls, they have a soup line, they give out food, but they don't say a damn thing about homosexuality, about murdering babies, about fighting wars for Israel, about the transgenderism in our school. Nope, they don't have anything to say about that. But they do good things, like handing out food and such things as that. Hold on there, I got Ralph. No, you're not. Just getting started, Ralph, so you're okay, buddy. 8 o'clock Eastern time, so you're all right. So anyway, a whole lot of stuff going on. I want to touch a little bit on this virus, coronavirus thing. I don't fear anything, okay? And again, I'm just speaking for myself. You do whatever you feels best, but I don't fear flus. I don't fear so-called pandemics, any of the stuff the fear porn media puts out there, and the fear porn government. I don't put it out, especially foreign governments, because they're all in bed together. They're all beasts, okay? That's why they're called beasts in the Bible, because there's no emotion. They're psychopaths, okay? They have no remorse, no emotion. They don't give a damn about us, really. So when they put out a bunch of hoopla about this coronavirus, whether it's real or not, if it is real, it's weaponized and it's being done on purpose. And there's a plan for it, okay? Why else would they have a virus, a vaccine already ready to sell to you, okay? If this thing had come out of the blue, it would be a long time before laboratories would come up with a so-called inoculation. But the Jew and the pharmaceutical companies they own already have a virus protection for you. They have an inoculation for you. Isn't that sweet? Lord knows what's in that concoction. But here again, I don't believe any of it, because how many times have we been here? I remember when they told us HIV could possibly eliminate mankind. Did it even come close to that? Nope, not even close. Did they tell us the truth about HIV? Nope. No, they didn't. Did they tell us the truth about Ebola? Did they tell us the truth about swine flu? Did they tell us the truth about the bird flu? Did they tell us the truth about any of these other scare tactics? Lately, was Zika here in Florida, and the governor, Rick Scott, and his lovely wife, who had lots of money invested in the company that gave us our poison to be sprayed on our heads to prevent Zika. When, if you did get Zika, the worst thing that was going to happen to you is get a headache. And when they showed those pictures, the fake news, like they always do, those pictures with the babies with the misformed heads, yeah, that happened, but it wasn't because of Zika. It happened because of runoff and poisons that the local agricultural departments were spraying on the crops. That came out in a study when they actually went down there for truth, but the media doesn't give a damn about truth. I put out a copy of a book, and been putting it on a lot of platforms, that talks about how does lies become news. Okay, so again, if you want to worry about this coronavirus, go ahead. I don't give a damn, and I'm not going to go out and get a vaccine. They're not going to put that crap in my body. And I'm not going to worry about it. I will, however, as I always do, whether it's the flu or if it's anything going around that's contagious, I stay away from people as much as possible. Okay? Isolation, quarantining, I do it myself. Not totally, but I'm saying I avoid people and contact with people as much as possible. I don't care if it's coronavirus or any other kind of virus. And I also make sure that my immune system stays at 100% and I get colloidal silver. So you can do what you want to do, but I'm going to do those things and I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to sleep fine and I'm not going to run out and let some quack stick a needle in my arm and inject me with their poison. Not only that, but what are they hiding with all this? What is all this hype about? Every time they do this, they're hiding something. They're trying to herd us in a certain direction, and they're hiding something. So, again, that's the question people should be asking, not whether this coronavirus is for real or how serious it is. It's serious only because they're making it serious. And that's what we really need to address. Why are they doing that? All right, let's... Here, real quick, let's get over to Jeremiah chapter 6. I don't want to read down through it real quick. and have a little discussion about that because of where we are today and what appears to be going on. Flee for safety, you children of Benjamin, out of the middle of Jerusalem. Blow the trumpet in Tekoa, and raise up a signal on Beth Hakerem. For evil looks out from the north with a great destruction. I will cut off the beautiful and delicate one, the daughter of Zion. Who's the daughter of Zion, folks? Isn't that our people? Shepherds and their flocks will come to her. Now, shepherds here could have been translated pastors or leaders. Flocks could have been translated as congregations. So this could have said pastors and their congregations will come to her. They will pitch their tents against her all around. They will feed everyone in his place. In other words, our people, the white race, there's pastors in their congregations, the true believers, the remnant, that are trying to reach out to them, much as you and I have, folks, I know you have, to get our people to understand, but they just won't understand. It's like in the discussion I had this weekend. The topic of Yahweh's laws came up, and of course, typical of our people, they don't think the food laws apply. Then we got talking about race mixing and his law. Well, I don't think that that's really his law. So I said, well, what do you mean? Well, I just don't think it matters. Really? So it matters in the world of vegetation. It matters in the animal kingdom. But it doesn't matter to mankind. So I said, you know, you're sort of playing cafeteria Christian. I'm reading Ralph's note here. He says, for my research, my theory is it's weaponized and is mainly designed to affect the DNA of the Chinese people. Since the big war did not start, this is being used as camouflage about the failing global economy. It's interesting that Wuhan is the first city in China where 5G was first employed. Okay, thanks, Ralph. So again, being a cafeteria Christian, you're picking out what you like in the scripture and throw the rest away, or in the other writings, either way. And then you also pick the interpretation that you like, even though it very specifically says kind after kind. And in the Greek language, the ukmukesus, which is do not mongrelize. Well, mongrelization, race mixing, and miscegenation are all synonymous. Okay, and yet they don't want, because why? We just talked about it. They want to stay safe in their little shell. They don't want to sacrifice their life. They don't want to possibly lose a job. They don't want to lose friends. They don't want to have bad things said about them. So they'll come up with all kinds of nonsensical ways to avert the truth. It's unbelievable. I just shake my head because these are really, really smart and good people I'm talking about. These are not your bums out in an alleyway. These are people that have high IQs and, well, good-paying jobs. But then again, they also have a lot more to lose. And that's what Christ is trying to say here. If you love the world more than me, then you're not of me. I'm sorry, that's what he said, okay? I mean, personally, I'm not sorry, but I'm sorry it's going to hurt your feelings. I'm sorry that it puts a hat pin in your comfort zone, in your bubble around your head, that you think you're okay with the Savior because you said the sinner's prayer and you go to that building once a week and you sit your ass in a pew and you think that's all it's required. Do you think that might be what he meant when he said there be those who do works in my name and say, Lord, Lord, we did this in your name and did that. And he just looks at him and says, depart from me. I don't know you. Yeah, you went out there and did all that, but you don't know me. You don't know me at all. Every chance you had to be my representative, my ambassador, to teach my truth, you walked away from it. You protected your life. And you could say protected your job, protected your house, protected your bank account. These are your new idols. You know, we read the story of the ancient Israelites. We go, oh, boy, I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have had a golden calf in my saddlebag. I wouldn't have been bowing down to a Moloch or some other golden thing. Really? Don't give me that line of crap, because you damn well would have been, just like our ancestors. You'd have been right there with them. Your idols take a different form, that's all. It could be the plastic card in your wallet. It could be the job down at the factory. It could be being president of the local, what do you call it? I can't think of the name of the club, whatever. You're the chairman, or you're the hot shot down at the local men's club, whatever. Point of it is, you got the same idols. They just are in different shape, that's all. Because technology's allowed them to be different. You all worship that flat screen. I call it the image controlled by the beast. The flat screen, the thing that's putting those images into your face 24 hours a day, controlling you by what you allow in through the eyes and ears. Okay? So you're idol worshipers, all right. Angel says, wash your hands, as well as what I was talking about. Yeah, wash your hands frequently. And it doesn't mean take 20 minutes to do it. It just means go in there and get the water warm and wash your hands. I would not use the antiseptic type soaps, because it hurts the environment. And besides that, you don't need it. And again, folks, colloidal silver, garlic, a whole host of other herbs that not only fight funguses and viruses, they keep your immune system and body strong. Remember, silver is almost like a miracle metal. And the pico silver in colloidal silver is a very, very tiny amount. Very tiny, because that's all it takes. And you've got to remember, silver is one of the few things on Earth that will kill virtually every virus, fungus, bacteria, but it doesn't harm what's good. Kind of a miracle thing, isn't it? It's actually a miracle that all the different things, the foods and herbs that our Heavenly Father gave us. So anyway, let's get back here to... So he says here to our people that they are to... that our people will come to them, the shepherds and their flocks, and we will pitch their tents, meaning we'll stick around, we'll sit there, and we'll try to win them over. Verse 4 here, prepare war against her, arise, let's go up at noon. Woe to us, for the day declines, or getting dark, for the shadows of the evening are stretched out. Arise, let's go up by night, let's destroy her palaces. For Yahweh of armies said, cut down trees and cast up a mound against Jerusalem. In other words, he's sending destruction on Jerusalem, which represents us, because of our disobedience. Again, we turned our backs on him. This is the city to be visited. She is holy oppression within herself. Wait a minute. She is holy oppression within herself. What's going on in America today? The land, the light on the hill, the blessed land where the Israelites fled to in North America here. What have we become? Palestine today is full of oppression. We've allowed the Jews, the interlopers, to come in and take it over. They are oppressing the Palestinians like there's no tomorrow. But what have they done here? They've come to North America and have done the same exact thing. They have Judaized this once white Christian nation to where now we are just as oppressive here, especially against Christians and white people, as the Jew is over in Palestine. So the Jews come here, take up power, much like a Bloomberg, that pompous-ass Jew in New York with his billions of dollars. He's spending multiple tens of millions of dollars to affect the state legislatures by his own admission, he's going to try to do it in at least 12 states to get them to swing anti-gun. Now, why would this rich, pompous-ass Jew care about, like, Virginia and Oklahoma and places like that, about whether the people there are armed or not? Because he's a Bolshevik, communist, Zionist Jew. That's why. Because this is a Bolshevik insurgency. We've talked about it. Bolsheviks act as a group. They have a hive mind. Just read the protocols of the Elders of Zion, okay? That's all. It's in there. I pulled the book off my family member's shelf, and we went through a few places where he had highlighted to refresh our memory. And even my relative said, wow, a lot of that's come true. Last time he read it was in 1993. Because he had a lot of notes in it that said, well, it hadn't happened by 1993. So when I pulled it off the shelf and I said, well, here we are 27 years later, guess what? It's all happened. It's all happening. Ralph says here, my advice is to use colloidal silver, the large molecule silver only, which operates outside the cell. The nano silver, which is a very small particle, goes inside the cell to kill them. The nano silver and titanium oxide are both very hard on the male parts, per research I have done. I had not heard that, but I know the quality colloidal silver I buy is whatever size that seems to work. I've been taking it off and on over the years, and nothing's ever happened. So it's like everything. Be circumspect and check it out and be sure you know what you're doing. But I'm telling you, silver is an amazing thing. Sickness and wounds are continually before me. Be instructed, Jerusalem, lest my soul be alienated from you, lest I make you a desolation, an uninhabited land. I missed verse 7 here. As a well produces its waters, so she produces her wickedness. Violence and destruction is heard in her. That's describing the lands that our people went to. Europe, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, Rhodesia, America, Canada. Our people, everywhere we've gone, we have allowed the interlopers come in and convince us to act more like them instead of us staying true to our Father. Yahweh of Armies says they will thoroughly glean the remnant of Israel like a vine. That's funny. It doesn't say the remnant of the world. The remnant of Israel, Jacob, the remnant of his 12 sons. Turn again your hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and testify that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised and they cannot listen. Talking about our people. It reminds me of the verses that talks about the seared conscience. It means you can't get through to our people. It's like a scab over a wound. It gets that hard scab over your wound. You can't hardly get through it when it's all dry. Well, your conscience is seared over, similar to that. Meaning you just won't listen to reason. You're not hearing. To whom shall I speak and testify that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised and they cannot listen. Behold, Yahweh's word has become a reproach to them. Like I said, I've been amongst friends and family. These aren't total strangers. And yet when you speak the truths of his word, that they act like it's a reproach. Oh, he can't. Oh, the God of the Bible would never be upset with a race mixer. Oh, the God of the Bible sure as heck wouldn't have a problem with a transgender or a queer. Oh, the God of the Bible would certainly want us to open our borders and let all these low IQ diseased people come into our lands. Oh, of course. Really? Everything in the Old Testament says you don't do that. You don't even do that with your own people, let alone strangers. And we can go to Leviticus and Deuteronomy and find the verses that says you're not to allow the strangers to invade your country. You can maybe let them in to visit or to do business, but they're not supposed to invade your territory. You're supposed to protect your community. And there's rules about sickness and illness, even amongst your own people. That's where quarantining first showed up, by the way, was in the Old Testament. A lot of people try to give thousands of years later, somebody came up with the idea of quarantining. No, quarantining was in the scriptures. It's been in there. So our people have known that, but here again, we're throwing all that common sense stuff away because the Jew has control of the media and the propaganda machine, and they're getting you to walk away from the living Christ and the Bible. Shame on us. To whom should I speak? Oh, I did it. Behold, Yahweh's word has become a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. Yeah, amen. That's us. Therefore, I am full of Yahweh's wrath. I am weary with holding it in. Pour it out on the children in the street and on the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife will be taken, and the aged with him who is full of days, meaning the old folks. Their houses will be turned to others, their fields and their wives together, meaning another people will take possession of the things you hold dear. For I will stretch out my hand on the inhabitants of the land, says Yahweh. For from their least even to their greatest, everyone is given to covetous. Didn't we just talk about covetous? What is it? Coveting. We covet riches. We covet material. We covet good words. We covet people's approval. We covet everything except what Yahweh teaches. From the prophet, even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. Is that America? Is it the world today? Everyone deals falsely. They have healed also the hurt of my people superficially. Whoa. About the false priests and the false prophets and these prostitutes called preachers today. They have healed the hurt of my people superficially, meaning half-heartedly. They only go through the motions. Well, brother, I know you got cancer, and so I'm going to leave this here hospital room, and I'm going to pray for you, brother. I'm going home and I'm going to get down on my knees until they hurt because I'm going to pray for you. Well, are you going to tell them what cancer is? Are you going to tell them about what radiation and chemotherapy does? Are you going to tell them about he should change his diet? Are you going to tell them about the cigarettes he smokes? Well, no, I'm going to go home and I'm going to pray for him. Oh, well, aren't you just a goody-two-shoes? Aren't you just so Christ-like? Last time I read the scriptures, seems like Christ did the healing. He laid on the hand. He didn't sit around just praying about it. He did something about it. When he knew that people were doing things that weren't right, he told them about it. You need to stop doing that. But today's believers, it's, let's just sit around and pray about it. We got traitors within our government, but we're going to pray that Yahweh will do something about it. Well, why don't we do something about it? Why don't the righteous stand up for a change? You know, our founding fathers turned this country over to their posterity, that's you and me, folks, and the idea was that we, the best of us now, not the worst of us, as in a cacistocracy, but the best of us, as in a constitutional republic. The idea is that the very best of your men are to lead. And today we've got the absolute worst. And even worse than that is these people aren't even of our kind. So they are reprobates, and they're reprobates of other races. So that's even a double penalty. So they healed the hurt of my people superficially, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. This so-called peace deal that this guy parading around as president made over there, who does it benefit? The Israelis. Who loves it? Jared Kushner, the Mossad agent married to his daughter. How about that? Peace, peace, when there is no peace. There is no peace for the Palestinians. Now there's peace for the Israelis, because the Israelis have said for a very long time there will be no peace in Israel until they own the whole kit and caboodle. So the idea was never to share it with the Palestinians. Never. They just go through the motions. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. We've talked about this verse, 15 in Jeremiah 6. Okay, people today, do they blush when they lie? Do they blush when they commit crimes? No, they don't. Why? Because we've become psychopaths, just like these megalomaniacs that run this country, these Jews and their lackeys amongst our own kind. So our people don't even blush anymore. They're not ashamed. They have no conscience. You have to have the Holy Spirit within you to have a conscience. These people don't have a conscience. Now people say, Dan, well, what about the other races? The other races behave themselves because of what they fear. Okay? When they come to America, they become Christian because Americans are Christian. The people, the host, so to speak, the one that's providing the homes and jobs and security and money, especially now, it's a free-for-all for handouts. If the white Americans became Hindus tomorrow, the people invading this land would be Hindus as well. Just saying. They're going to mimic whatever the white man does because they want his protection. They want his goodies. They want his inventions. They want his medicines. They want his civilization. And if people are so stupid as they can't figure that out, I've got a whole list of books. I'll be glad to email anybody that contacts me that if you want an education, you just read these books and you'll get an education on the facts. Now, if you want to stay with your emotionalism and you want to go with universalism to where everybody's the same, well, then get away from me. I don't even want to talk to you. Our Heavenly Father said the truth, and only the truth will set you free. If you don't want the truth, then get away from me. I didn't say the truth would be easy. I didn't say the truth would be fun. I didn't say the truth would make you a lot of money. I didn't say the truth would get you voted employee of the month. But where in Scripture does it say that that's the promise? It's not. It's never the promise. Never the promise. Yahweh says, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, the ancient paths. Where is the good way, and walk in it? And you will find rest for your souls. Amen. But they said, we will not walk in it. There's that haughty Israelite, stiff-necked attitude of our people. Just like the discussion I had over the weekend. Well, you know, race mixing is a law, and it's wrong. Oh, I don't think God would punish somebody who's mixed race. Really? Well, even if that were true, are you supposed to encourage it? Shouldn't you be telling them they're making a mistake? Even if you don't care about the Bible and the God of heaven, just read Charles Weissman's book, Anthology of Racial Issues. That's one. Or Charles Murray's book, or a host of others that I can give you a list of. All of them talking about the facts. All of them talking about the emotional and physical effects of miscegenation. Okay, you can leave the Bible completely out of it. you can leave the feel-good stuff completely out of it. Let's just talk about what the scientists and researchers that put the charts together about race mixing. Let's just talk about that. Oh, I don't want to talk about that. I got friends that are mixed race. Yeah, yeah, I know. You're like the guy that says, well, I got a friend that's a Jew, so I'm going to overlook all the stuff that these other Jews are doing. Really? Is he actually your friend, or is this a ploy, a cover, while he's down at the synagogue with his friends plotting the destruction of your country? Just like it says in the protocols of the Elders of Zion, and I showed it to my family member because he is a deacon in his church. I said, what about this sentence right here that admits that the enemy of the Zionist is Christianity? One of the goals of the protocols, by the way, said to eliminate the Christian monarchies. Whoa. You have to ask yourself, if I have an enemy and his battle plan is to eliminate my Christian monarchies, do you think you might want to find out why? Do you think there might be a reason that you should have kept your Christian monarchies? Do you think? Maybe? Possibly? It's like I got into an argument with a very close relative over that very subject. Well, monarchies are terrible. I said, well, wait a minute. Are you talking about dictatorships or monarchies? Well, it's the same thing. I said, no, it's not. Monarch just means that there's a singular person in charge. He's not a dictator. Just like on a battleship, we talk about that all the time. It has one captain. Are you saying the captain's a dictator? You're saying the captain never has a meeting with his executive officer and other middle-level officers on the ship? He never talks to them? He never takes into account the seamen and the bosun's mates and all the rest of them on the boat? He doesn't care about them? He's just a dictator? Well, you better be damn sure he does care about them, because whether that boat makes it back to the dock or not depends on everybody on that boat working together as a team. But you have to have one guy at the top making decisions. Why do you think the Jew hates monarchies? Because it's the most powerful defense mechanism to what the Jew is up to. And he knows that. Shame on us for not figuring that out. That's why. That's why he loves it when you have a parliamentary system, or like in America with the Congress and the courts and the executive. They love it. Divide it out. Spread out that, because they got lots of money. They can buy up all of the votes they need, or they'll get as many of them involved in homosexuality or pedophilia or something. They can take care of that. But trying to do that to a powerful, righteous monarch, that's difficult. That's difficult. Because generally, whoever rises to the position of monarch amongst our people all through the millennia, that person's wise to these people called Jews, these invaders, these interlopers, these pretenders. Traitors, dual citizenship traitors. And a monarch doesn't have to sit around when he sees a danger to his republic and his people. He doesn't have to sit around and ask for a consensus, because asking for a consensus of our people is probably the dumbest thing you could possibly do. Why? Try to get a consensus of our people on any topic. Any topic. Let alone serious ones, any topic. Even in the forum we have here tonight, it would be hard to get a 100% consensus. The only thing you need to have as a consensus is who's going to be your monarch. Everybody has to agree that whoever that individual is calling the shots. And we're going to support him and trust him as long as we see results that prove that he's for us. It's just like right now, Washington, D.C. is supposed to be in the hands of ultra-conservative patriot, right? Isn't that what we're told? And 3 years into this administration, everything's going the way of the Bolsheviks just like they wanted. Oh, that's not true. He's actually done a lot of things. Really? They just passed the USMCA, which is TPP and NAFTA rolled together, only worse. Only worse. Headlines with a Voice just did a 5 or 6 minute video explaining how it is worse. And it's quoting globalists who are admitting this in interviews, that the USMCA, which is United States, Mexico, and Canada agreement, is the original TPP and NAFTA plus another 10 to 20% added in. So there you go, all you cultists. By the way, that's what I've started calling family members and friends that worship Trump. You're cultists. You worship a personality, okay? And we've said from day one on this program, when Trump got elected, don't fall into that trap. He's just a man. What's important is the movement, especially amongst the white believers of this country. It was the movement behind Trump that came to the meetings, that waved the flags, that said they would do this and that. It wasn't Trump. It was never Trump. It's the movement. And yet we've put all of our faith in a pseudo-Christ, a false Christ, a false Savior. In fact, we've even had commentary and pundits who have said that Trump is anointed. What does anointed mean? What does the word Christ mean? It comes from the Greek word Christos. What's it mean? It means the same as the Hebrew Messiah or Messiah. Depends how you want to pronounce it. We usually say Messiah. Okay, so Messiah and Christ both mean the same thing. Anointed. Anointed. Wow. So who is the Antichrist? The one who stands opposed to the living Christ. What's coming out of Washington, D.C. right now, folks? Do you see anything Christ-like coming out of Washington, D.C., the Pentagon, or anything associated with state governments? Do you see anything? I should take it back. The counties of Virginia and the governor of West Virginia yesterday announced that they will work together to bring the Virginia counties into West Virginia if that's what they want. They're going to work towards that. And the head of the largest Christian university, which is Jerry Falwell's son, spoke out in favor of this. Very powerful speech by him and the governor of West Virginia. If you haven't seen John Mark's video on that, you need to go to John Mark, the YouTube channel, John Mark, M-A-R-K, and look at his post video yesterday. I think it's about 20 minutes, where he has the press conference that the governor of West Virginia and Jerry Falwell Jr. gave. And Jerry Falwell Jr. made a very good point that this country is being subverted. There is this insurgency to bring down Christian America. So the church world, at least a portion of the church world, is waking up to the things we've been talking about on this show for 20 years now. And I say hallelujah. It's about time. So, again, our people need to get away from this cult worship and worship of the beast. It's the same thing, only different. It's two sides of the same coin. When the scripture says not to worship the beast, we've already talked about the fact that the beast is government, all right? Government. So, don't worship the beast. What is worship? Let's go to the dictionary right here. So, worship is a verb. To love unquestionably and uncritically, or to excess, venerate as an idol. Whoa! Isn't that what we were just talking about? This is right out of wordweb.com. Love unquestionably and uncritically. Isn't that what people are doing with Trump? Or to excess, venerate as an idol. What's an idol? Do you want to know what an idol is? A material effigy that is worshipped, someone who is adored blindly and excessively. One of the synonyms down here on the bottom of the page, a graven image. Man alive, is this coming out and slapping you upside the head or what? That's exactly what the Trump tards are doing. Like I said, I was pro-Trump for a couple years, saying, first of all, don't idolize him. Don't turn him into an idol or a false Christ. But give him a couple, we'll give him time to get his programs going. It's very difficult to go into a new job and get everything you want right away. But looking back now over 3 years, it's not there, folks. It's just hot air. After all, he's a billionaire, made his money in New York City, or should we say Jew York City. He's got Jews up his ass everywhere you turn. His son-in-law is a Mossad Chabad member. His daughter has become Jewish and changed her name. In fact, it's somewhat satanic, the Yiddish version of the name she chose. So again, where is this great hero that I'm supposed to worship along with the rest of my family and friends that think Trump is a great thing? I think the American people are a great thing, not Donald Trump. I think the American people, when they get their heads out of their asses and they start to see the sunshine and smell the coffee, when they realize what is going on and they decide to worship the living God instead of worshiping government as a beast and thinking that the beast has to give them everything that they want. They look for solutions not amongst ourselves and our Father in heaven. They look for solutions coming from the beast government. And if you don't think that's true, just take a look around. Look at the average person today. Who are they looking to? Do you think they have real faith? Do you think they have a faith in the Father that's actually creating a relationship? Do you think most of these people actually pray? I'm talking about the prayer where you go to a quiet place and you talk with the Father. It's a conversation, folks. Prayer is a conversation. And if it's a one-way conversation, I got to question whether you're actually a believer or not. Sorry, truth hurts sometimes. Father said what? When he left here as the Christ, he said, I will send you a comforter. How much comfort is there if somebody isn't talking to you? How much direction are you going to get if the Holy Spirit isn't whispering in your ear? I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit has saved my life more than once. Saved me from a lot of trouble when I paid attention. The only thing is, you don't have to listen to what the Holy Spirit tells you. And if you're in a noisy environment or you're busy having parties and fun all the time, you're probably not going to hear that still, small voice. But I've acknowledged the Father since I was a little boy. Obviously, since I'm not perfect and I've made plenty of mistakes, that doesn't mean I was without error or that I listened all the time. But I will say one thing. Father never abandoned me, ever. And he will not abandon you as well. He does want obedience. He said, I'm a jealous God, I'm a jealous Elohim God, and I will not accept the worship of another. That includes government, that includes money, that includes women, that includes booze, drugs, entertainment, sports, material goods. He is not going to allow you to give your worship, your reverence, to another. But if you do come to him, if you do repent, which means to rethink, to decide that maybe I should listen to what Father has to say. Maybe I should come to him as what? Oh, that's right, a little child. How do children come to their parents? Do they come to him with an attitude? Typically, I know there's some exceptions to that. Typically, children, or at least mine did, I had six, typically they come up with adoring eyes and trust and a certain amount of meekness. I know my father, it was that way. Hey, Dad, why is it this way, or why does that work that way? And he would show me, or he would tell me. So did my other elders, so did my mother. Okay? As little children, you are to approach the throne of the King of Kings, and he will address your issues. We as a people are suffering right now because Yahweh, as we just read in Jeremiah, has determined that we are a disobedient group. We've turned our backs on him, and therefore we will suffer his wrath. We are his people. These other people are blessed when we're a blessing. And when we go down, they're going to go down too. Yahweh's not going to deal with the brown, yellow races and get his will done. He's not going to work through them. All through history, who does he work through? Us. We're the people of the book, not these other people. That doesn't mean they're not worthy of life and that they should be mistreated. Of course it doesn't mean that. It just means that he has a group of people that are his what? Peculiar people. How many times does scripture talk about his addressing and dealing with his chosen or peculiar people? In fact, the very word Celt, K-E-L-T, which is what our people were known all through Europe and up into England, the Celts, comes from the word Keltoi in the Greek language. Guess what Keltoi means in Greek? Peculiar people. Peculiar people. That was us. We were his. We did his will. And we behaved as family. Not perfectly. That's true. We had a lot of infighting. We've done some bad things to one another, but we at least understood the basics. People 1,000 years ago understood the racial thing. They understood some of the basic things that our people have completely forgotten at this point in time. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. So when it talks about the wheat and the tares, in that parable about the wheat and the tares, we talked about the fact that tares are the darnel plant. And the darnel plant, as it grows, looks just like wheat. That's why Yeshua said to his disciples, you are not to tear up the tares. Because they said, you want us to weed the garden? You want us to rip up these tares? Destroy them? He said, no. Because if I let you do that, you may rip up some of the wheat. Because they look very much alike on the outside. He goes, you're going to let them grow to fruition. Because in fruition, at the end of the age, the tear will be sticking straight up while the wheat is bent over in submission to the Father, to his will. And they are humble. And they have heavy grains of good fruit, good deeds. Where the terror doesn't care about that. Look at those pictures from Washington, D.C. Look at the faces of those megalomaniacs. You can see terror all over them. Haughty, proud, think they can do no wrong, lie, cheat, and steal with impunity. They are the tares, sticking straight up, haughty and proud, and the seeds are black and toxic. If you eat them, you will get sick. You could die, but you definitely will get very sick. Poisonous. What comes out of these psychopaths in industry, and psychopaths in the medical mafia, and psychopaths in the mainstream media, psychopaths in government? Toxic, nasty, poisonous seeds. That's why there's no justice in our courts. There's no education in our schools. There's no health in our healthcare system. It's all about making money, staying in control. And we accept it because we worship the beast. I'm going to tell you, folks, when Father said that there's a lot of folks going to be very disappointed when the gong sounds and the rooting of the tares out of the kingdom comes about, there's going to be a lot of disappointed people who think they're going to be welcomed in. Yahweh made it very clear. I am a jealous Elohim God. I am a jealous creator. I will not accept my creation worshiping a false god. And our people do it all the time. And I'm saying that as a warning to you because we're approaching the end, folks. All the signs are there, including that parable about the wheat and the tares. The tares are sticking straight up. They're pretty easy to identify. So, being that close, the watchmen on the wall are issuing the warning, one of the final warnings you're ever going to get, that you better straighten up. I think that's why Jerry Falwell Jr. and the governor of West Virginia said what they said. I believe within the so-called church world, they're beginning to see that playing church and being his children are two different things. Playing church has gotten us where we are. Playing church hasn't made a damn bit of difference in this world. 47 years we've been murdering children and allowing Jews to profit off of the baby parts. 47 years, that's half a century. Where's the church world been? Where's the preachers been? Where's all the pious pew setters while that's going on? I also just read an article that the number of people fleeing the cities has gone up dramatically, that property in rural America is becoming much more expensive, especially in prime locations. So the fleeing from the cities is already in progress. I talked to friends of mine in the Ozark Mountain area. This was a couple years ago, and it was happening up there. Property values were going up because outsiders were coming in and buying small farmettes for bug-out places because they knew something was wrong. Something is going to happen. There's no longer any trust in the media or in government. They know they're liars. Their lips are moving and they're lying. So we have a lot of indications of where we are on the timeline. A lot of things are going on. You need to educate yourself, folks, while we have time. There's tons of books out there. Get your heads away from that flat screen, please. Stop watching so much of that damn television. It's just programming. Neuro-linguistic programming. It's what the psychopaths use to get into your mind. The very thing Christ warned us about. Guard your eyes and your ears. What does that mean? Well, when you guard something, what do? Don't you protect it? You stop bad things from coming in. Guard your eyes. Why? Well, because you're affected by the things you see, whether you know it or not. It happens at the subconscious level. Guard it. And when you're tuned into that television, it's like a tractor beam. I've watched people. If they got their cell phone on, their tablet on, their TV or their computer, it's like a frickin' tractor beam. The image, flat screens, produced and owned by the beast. Now, I'm not saying don't use it. I got flat screens in front of me. In fact, I got three big 24-inchers right here in front of me. I'm using them to teach you and to talk to you. Am I glued to them? Kind of, but not really. Everything is a tool. Everything is a tool. It's just who's behind the tool and what's the purpose. Tools can be used for the good, but they can also be used for evil. And the same thing for the ears. Protect what goes in those headsets, whether it's on a flat screen, a computer, or just an MP3 player or a radio station. Be careful what goes into the ears. It affects you, people. If you allow it into your eyes or ears, it will affect you. That's why Yahweh said, I will send them a grand delusion, a strong delusion. And who's he sending that to? Those that do not love the truth. Why can I look at this flat screen and it's not going to affect me? Because I love the Father and his truths, and I'm using this as technology to make myself wiser and to spread truth. That's why. I don't entertain myself on it. I don't play games on it. I sure as hell am not going to watch anything coming out of mainstream media or the government. I can't tolerate that. That's like taking fingernails down across a chalkboard. Nothing but liars and deceivers. Psychopaths. Absolute psychopaths. Oh, by the way, I did a little looking into that. The word psychopath and sociopath are synonymous, meaning they are the same meaning. It's just that years ago, a psychopath was used to describe antisocial megalomaniacs. Well, today, the N word is a sociopath, but it's the same thing. You look them up in the dictionary, it'll have the same definition. Just one was used a couple decades ago mostly, and now today, everybody thinks it's trendy to call them sociopaths, but it's the same thing. Psychotic behavior, demented, no remorse, no conscience. Just like Christ said, they're here to steal, to kill, and destroy because they have no guidance. There's no moral rudder with these people. All right, I've been blathering on here for quite some time. If anybody has something they would like to discuss or share with the rest of the folks, now's the time to go ahead and call in. But we are in very, very serious trouble. I think everybody realizes that now, and I also believe that we were fed a line of bullshit with this presidency. I know some people still think he was put in there. I've even heard some people say, well, God put him in there. Yeah, as punishment, not to save your sorry ass. Nebuchadnezzar was a pagan. He wasn't one of our people, and he was chosen by God, just like Pharaoh and Egypt. He was chosen too, but not for the benefit. Excuse me. He was chosen to rain punishment down on his disobedient and disbelieving children. Because if that was really a white knight sitting in the White House, where the hell was he in Virginia? Where the hell was he in Oklahoma? Where the hell is he in any of these other states? Where the hell was he in New York when they said it's okay to kill babies? We got laws against that. We got laws against killing children. This presidency didn't do a damn thing about it. Didn't even speak about it. Okay? You could certainly speak about it. So we are in serious trouble because, again, we put our faith in a man, and we were told never to do that. Trust not the arm of flesh is what Scripture says. Why is that? Because the arm of flesh is capable of being deceiving and can flip. The arm of flesh is driven by fleshly desires, and we are not to trust that. We're to put our trust in Him. But get back to what I said and do some research and do some serious, serious thinking about a righteous monarchy. I'm telling you, folks, I've been saying it for 20 years, and everybody thinks I'm crazy. There's a reason why the Father has put that in my mind, and it will not go away. You will never convince me that anything but a righteous monarchy is going to... Saving the coming of Christ Himself, a righteous monarchy and an army of our people behind Him is the only thing going to turn this around. That's it. That's it. Tommy says, this president is the deceiver of them all. I was very foolish once to believe this puppet Jew was chosen by God. So now the cuck in the whorehouse, otherwise White House, is suddenly pro-Second Amendment again. Oh, yeah, that's because he's out stumping for votes. Gee, I wonder how Virginia citizens that voted for him feel for him being very silent and did nothing to help or at least show support. Yep, exactly what we just said. And I agree. Where the hell was he? Okay. And he just said it again at a rally, I believe, in New Jersey. In fact, not far from where we used to go on summer vacations. Okay. He said it once again. He's sitting there, oh, I am pro-Second Amendment, and nobody's going to hurt that Second Amendment on my watch. Well, what the hell do you call red flag laws? What the hell do you call all this legislation trying to take away our God-given, constitutionally protected rights? No, no, no. The New World Order, the cabal, the deep state is marching on unabated because it's treason at the helm. Treason. Whether it's Republican traitors or Democrat traitors. Treason, folks. And also, keep this in mind, when we talk about a monarchy, and again, we're talking about a biblical, righteous, elected monarchy. Get that Hollywood bullshit out of your brain. I remind everybody all the time, when Yeshua returns, what's he going to be? A member of Congress? Is he going to be president? Is he going to be on the Supreme Court? Answer? None of the above. He is going to be a beneficial monarch. I want to see all of the pompous asses that give me a hard time over this concept. I want to see them go down in front of that great throne with him sitting there with that scepter of iron in those piercing blue eyes. And I want to see you give him the argument that, well, monarchies are not good. And I said I would never bow a knee to a king. Yeah, and we wonder why we're in the shape we're in. Just because in history there were a few guys that ascended to the throne that weren't the best of people, where the hell were the elders? Where the hell were the barons? King John didn't willingly sign the Magna Carta, did he? King John signed the Magna Carta because the barons put swords to his throat and said, you'll sign it or die right here on the spot. We, the people, are the power. We, the people, are the country. We, the people, are the greatest resource of any nation. It's not banking. It's not industry. It's not foreign trade. That's all the cabal wants, the globalists. You and I, as a free people, are the greatest asset in this country. You and I, foremost. And when we work together and obey the laws and remember the two greatest principles of our Father's law, all government is at the local level, and do no harm. All of Scripture can be boiled down to those two things. All government is to be local and do no harm. That's basically it. The monarch doesn't sit there and delegate down to the local level. The monarch's main job is just to make sure everybody within his kingdom plays fair. That's all. So if somebody from, let's say, Monroe County comes up to his capital and says, my local governor or my magistrate is taking bribes and stealing our land, the monarch sends his military down there and they put that man on trial. And if he's found guilty of doing those things, he is taken outside and executed. Case closed. Simple, right? That's how you keep people playing fair. You punish wrongdoers. You do not punish the people doing it right, which is the way this upside-down cacistocracy run by psychopathic, satanic creatures in suits who look human, but they are not. They're actually monsters. That's what we have. Under a righteous, beneficial monarchy, you would have just the opposite. How much simpler could it be? How much more beautiful could it be? Why is that such a hard concept? I'd really like to know. Why is everybody fixated on this system we have now that's obviously not working? It's not working, folks. Take a look around. How much more does our Heavenly Father have to put on your heads before you'll bend the knee and understand? Before you will come to grips with reality versus what's in your head? Just asking. There's a reason Father keeps telling me to pound that into your heads. I hope you're paying attention. Here's a few good quotes. This is from our good old Chi-Com, Chinese communist Mao Zedong, who had Jewish money and power all over him. Political power grows out of the barrel of a gun. That's funny. Now, there was Mao Zedong who killed millions of his own people, possibly a couple hundred million, but certainly millions of innocent people died, so this pompous ass could be the dictator. But he said all political power comes out of the barrel of the gun. It's funny, he didn't say out of a voting machine. He didn't say out of a parliament. He didn't say out of a Congress. He didn't say out of a politician, because it is the barrel of a gun that ultimately decides everything. And now you know also why these communists want you disarmed. They don't care if you cast ballots. They could care less because they own the voting machines. That's why they don't care. They own the voting machines. They're counting the votes, folks. Even Joseph Stalin said that. I don't care if you vote. Just make sure that the power is in the person counting the votes. I will pick who counts the votes. Tommy says here that Arpaio, I think you're talking about Sheriff Arpaio. I don't know who Mark Zullo is, but they both say that Trump is a double agent. It was a mistake by Trump not to show up in Virginia to support them. I mean, I agree with that. Kurt says, agreed. I forgot the exact timestamp, but I believe it was Arpaio who said it, and Zullo responded in agreement. It was just a passing comment. Oh, okay. I say, we're going back and forth there. Yeah, a lot of this hype, this new technology is not our friend. It really isn't. But here again, technology is not necessarily bad, but it needs to be properly built and structured so that it does no harm. Remember, that's one of the golden rules. Do no harm. Technology that does harm is not good, no matter what it's doing. There are safe ways to do everything that we're talking about. Tommy says, under propertarianism, if a monarch is implemented in a territory, he must enforce reciprocity of the natural law. Amen. Exactly. Exactly. And that's why I like what's in the Kurt Doolittle's Constitution of Propertarianism, because it fits hand in glove with Scripture. And a righteous monarch is going to rule by what? Scripture. Okay? Scripture. Let me read what, Acts chapter 5, verse 29. But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men." William Blackstone also said something similar. No enactment of man, meaning legislation, can be considered law unless it conforms to the law of God. Amen. Reciprocity and propertarianism come right out of Scripture. Virtually every plank of propertarianism I can take you where it's backed up by Scripture, at least everything I've read on it. Okay? So the propertarianisms, the folks with propertarianism should have no problem with the idea of a biblical beneficial monarch. He's going to govern exactly the way the propertarians want it to be, at the local level, with very little interference from the top. That's how it works. William Blackstone also said that free men have weapons or arms, slaves do not. William Blackstone also said that it is better that 10 guilty escape than one innocent suffer. I've heard other versions of it to where it's better that like 100 escape hanging rather than hang one innocent man. That is the highest crime that can be done, is to punish an innocent man. Also, remember our founding fathers said that justice delayed is justice denied. This whole system is upside down. There are people I know personally. One of my American Legion buddies spent 2 years in jail waiting for trial on a charge that was later dropped, and his record was expunged. He lost 2 years waiting for trial, 2 years in jail before the girl admitted she lied, her and her mother, and he was exonerated, and that was expunged from his record. He lost 4 years of his life. Justice delayed is justice denied. 2 years, though. 2 years waiting for trial. That should never, ever, ever happen. Again, we have a lot to clean up. The good news is that everything that's wrong can be fixed. Everything can be fixed, but you got to get the right leadership, folks. And that's the problem. We're looking to the system that created these problems to fix the problems. That is a form of insanity. William Blackstone also said, "So great, moreover, is the regard of the law for private property that it will not authorize the least violation of it. No, not even for the general good of the whole community." In other words, private property is sacred. That goes back to English common law in Old England. Okay? Property is sacred. Sacred. And we don't treat it that way anymore, do we? No. We let the government come in and have all kind of ruses and make-believe charges. They come up with trumped-up things, just like Jerry Spence said in his 60 years as a lawyer, and a very successful one, by the way. Not once did he go to court where the other side was the United States government or some, you know, branch of government. Not once did somebody representing the government ever play by the rules. Not once in 60 years. That's abysmal, folks, because it shows that there is no accountability, you see. And under the law of reciprocity and propertarianism and biblical law, a wrongdoer, no matter who it is, must be punished. This is all because we worship the beast, which is government. You're worshiping the beast. You're allowing them to get away with crimes because you worship them as if it's a god. That anything they do must be obeyed. That you've made them your god. When you get to that point where you look at government and think that way, you have committed idolatry. You have committed an abomination in front of the living God. You are in the position to be punished in the worst sort of way. And that's what's getting ready to happen. It's already in taking place. Many people have been abused. Many people have lost their lives, their property, their fortunes by this criminal government. And the people still go by saying government must be obeyed. Where's that coming from? Oh, the people that run the government. And who are those mostly? Oh, that's right, Jews, which comes right out of their Protocols of Zion and their Talmud. They are to be the masters of the world. That's their goal. So your constitution doesn't matter. Your Bible doesn't matter. Your old English customs don't matter. Your children don't matter. Your family doesn't matter. None of those things matter. Because they're hell-bent on controlling and taking over the world. Because it's their destiny and they're the only ones fit. Even though every Jew I've ever worked with was a piece of shit. Sorry. Just telling you like it is. I've worked with Jews quite a few times, and I never worked with one that was worth a shit. Not one. Now, if you got friends out there that you say are Jewish, that's your problem. I'm just telling you my life's experience, 66 years of walking this earth, I did not work with one that had any integrity at all. Not one. So you can do whatever you want. You can go on worshiping them all you want, and worshiping the government that they control, worshiping the bankers and their money and their fake money. You go ahead. Let me know how it works out for you. I'm stuck in this world. You're right. I hate it. I was put here to do something. I was put here to tell you. I'm doing my best to do that job. That was my promise. Remember, your life is a gift of God to you. What you do with it is your gift back to Him. What are you doing with your life, folks? What are you going to stand in front of Him and recite to Him as why it was worthwhile that you're even here? What are you going to tell Him? When you stand there and those piercing blue eyes are looking at you and you know you can't lie because He already knows the answer. And He asks you, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with the talent I gave you? What did you do with the money I gave you? What did you do with the family I gave? What did you do with everything I gave you in this life? What did you do with it? Did you expand anything? Did you make the world a better place? Did you increase in knowledge? Did you share that knowledge? Did you build anything? Did you help anybody? Or did you just simply go through life as a great big party? Just saying. All right, I don't see anybody requesting to call in, so we'll go ahead and cut it short here. Excuse me, I got a tickle in my throat all of a sudden. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters. We thank you for this platform that reaches out all over the earth. We know that your word is going out there, and it will not come to back to you without having an effect. Truth cuts like a double-edged sword. It hurts sometimes, but it will divide. It will divide the faithful from the unfaithful. It will divide those with a conscience from those without a conscience. It most certainly will divide your true sons and daughters from the rest. And even amongst those who are not of our kind, it will separate them as well, whether they're just going through the motions or whether they actually will bless Abraham. That's us, not these imposters, not these Revelation 2:9 folks. We do repent of our misgoings and misdeeds, Father. We know we failed. We failed to keep this poor earth safe. We failed to look after each other as family. We have failed to keep the weights and measures honest. We failed to keep the land pure and the water pure. We failed on every level there is to fail. And therefore, your coming is of necessity. You need to come back and rule with a rod of iron. We are like children. We behave like children. We act like children. And therefore, we do not have the right to govern ourselves. So we beseech you, Father Yahweh, that you will come back, become our king once again. This be a theocracy under your rule, and give up this whole notion that man can do it himself. He's too weak, too easily misled, too easily bribed, too easily enticed, and too damn greedy. We ask that you would bless those who do follow you and love you, Father. Watch after them and look over them and put the Holy Spirit upon them and guide them with good discernment. If there is any healings that are needed, we ask for a healing. For those on the front lines in this battle, we ask the soldier's ransom of protection around your men and women. We also ask that you would forgive us our sins as individuals, Father, and protect us all from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.